Welcome to the ASRML tutorial, session 4.2, where we're talking this morning about the analysis of variance options that are available in ASRML. The analysis of variance is used for testing fixed effects, and there are a few issues that we need to understand and think about. There is, first of all, the issue of the fact that sums of squares are not unique when we come to an unbalanced analysis. And also the fact that different fixed effects are different levels or different strata in a mixed model, and so they have different residual variances that they need to be tested against. And then there is the issue of what degrees of freedom to use. The numerator degrees of freedom is straightforward and obvious, but the denominator degrees of freedom is not easy to estimate and will depend on the type of analysis that we have. And there are some other structural issues in ASRML that we also need to be aware of. So the first point that I'll make here is that in the analysis of variance that we get from ASRML, the first part of the model as we write it, we have a list of fixed effects. And this controls the order in which terms are fitted in the analysis of variance. But there is a complication, and that is that if fixed effects are also included in the sparse part of the model, and that's possible, and it's often a large grouping factor that might be placed in the sparse part of the model, then it is fitted first in the modelling process. And, well, we'll normally remove the mean and may well remove some of the other terms in the models. Let's say that your analysis of variance had terms like year and region in it, and then in the sparse part you had a term which is effectively a year-by-location term. ASRML will sweep out the effects for the random effects and these year-by-location effects before it looks at the sum of squares due to the terms you specified in the first part of the model. And they will be completely swept out. So there will be nothing in the analysis of variance because all that variation has already been swept out in that sparse section. So that's just by way of comment. Normally in situations where you're wanting to test terms, you won't be sweeping them out by having a large sparse term which sweeps them all out. Because if you sweep them all out in that large sparse term, then you're basically saying, I'm not interested in performing tests about these things. I'm just interested in removing the variation attributable to them. So, thinking now about the situation where we don't have that extra fixed effects in the sparse component, we generate an analysis of variance table in the order of the terms specified in the first part of the model, the fixed terms in the model. There are two optional qualifiers that come into this. The first one of these is the DDF qualifier, and the second one is the FCON qualifier. Now, if you don't specify the DDF qualifier and the analysis is small, ASRML will set it so that you do get calculate the denominator degrees of freedom for the analysis that you're doing. But if the analysis is large, since it takes a considerable amount of time to calculate the denominator degrees of freedom, ASRML will not do it. And there is an intermediate phase where you can request ASRML to do them, and it will if the problem isn't too large. So the DDF qualifier has three forms. DDF minus one says don't worry about calculating the denominator degrees of freedom. DDF not specified says let ASRML work out whether it wants to do it or not. DDF one means for ASRML to work out using a numerical derivative method, and DDF2 uses the algebraic derivative method. the algebraic derivative method is essentially as described in by Kenwood and Roger, but it is computationally quite demanding. It needs a large amount of space, and so in other situations where that method may not work, you can use numerical derivatives. The numerical derivatives are fine if there's not too many variance components, but they will take a considerable amount of time because it effectively involves doing an extra iteration for every variance component. So you might get the solutions in 8 iterations, but you might have 20 variance components and take another 20 iterations to work out the denominator degrees of freedom. That will mean that the job will seem to be there, and then suddenly it'll just stop and look at you for a long time while it calculates all these derivatives. So in that situation, you probably want to avoid the calculation, at least after you've established what are the terms you want in your fixed model. So that's the DDF qualifier, which is specified either on the data file line or on a line by itself just before the model. Now, the other qualifier that we're talking about here is the FCON qualifier, and that gives us a conditional sum of squares as well as the incremental sum of squares. Before that, let's just look at what exactly we are doing in an analysis of variance. I have here the Oates example. It's a split plot where there were rates of nitrogen as subplots and 3 varieties of Oates as whole plots, and maybe 6 replicates. We could specify the model completely as a fixed model, the yield modelled as the mean, block effects, there were 6 blocks, varieties, there were 3 varieties, blocks.whole plots, or blocks.varieties, would do the same thing, and that defines the error level for the whole plots. And then nitrogen main effect, nitrogen.variety, are at the subplot level of the analysis, and then there's a residual, which is the error B. And in the days when I was younger, you would actually fit those effects, that model, get the sums of squares, and then construct from that, recognize that the residual was the error B and the block.whole plot was the error A, and construct your analysis of variance based on that. If we actually fit this model in ISREML, we get the following results. We get an analysis of variance table, but it's treated the block.whole plot as a fixed term. So the F values here are the F incremental and the F conditional, and the F conditional column is included because we specified the FCON qualifier, but in this case it's identical because it's a balanced analysis. The F values are calculated from the sum of squares relative to the residual variance, and they are not the correct values. If you ran this analysis in GenStat and you told that the blocks were in the error stratum, then, and the whole plots were in the error stratum, you would get a different analysis. On the next slide, looking at the whole plot part of the analysis, the first 4 lines, we would derive the proper test for the mean as 4395 divided by 17.93, the block variance. And that gives us an F value of 245 tested on 1 on 5 degrees of freedom, because blocks is a part of the error stratum. Similarly, the variety term would be tested against the whole plot, block.whole plot term. And so the proper F value for that is 5.04 divided by 3.4, which is 1.49, with 2 on 10 degrees of freedom. whereas the analysis that has been reported here is 2 and 45, because we didn't tell it that blocks were random or that block.whole plot was random. The last two lines of our analysis, the nitrogen nitrogen block variety, are the proper tests. Now, if we modify the model term then in ASReml to the way it should have been written, with the fixed effects mu, variety, nitrogen, nitrogen dot variety, and the random effects, blocks.whole plots, then ASReml returns us, first of all, some degrees of freedom and stratum variances, and we see that it can reconstitute the blocks variance and the degrees of freedom and the variance for the whole plots. In this table, the 3175 is in fact the residual variance, 177.083, times the F value for blocks, 17.93. In other words, it is the mean square for blocks. And if we'd done the traditional analysis of variance and calculated the mean square, it would be 3175. That mean square has an expectation of 12 lots of the block variance component, 4 lots of the whole plot variance component, and 1 lot of the residual. And that's what the values to the right of those values mean. And there's 5 degrees of freedom on the blocks variance. Similarly, for the whole plot stratum, there are 10 degrees of freedom. 601 is the 3.4 F value for block.whole plot times the residual variance, 177.083, and its expectation in terms of variance components is the residual variance plus 4 times the whole plot variance. And so we can relate the proper variance components that we estimate in the mixed model back to the mean squares that we get from the fixed model. So the variance components are displayed in when we fit the blocks and blocks.whole plot as random terms. We get a blocks variance component of 214.47, a whole plot variance component of 106, and a residual of 177. So there is a direct link between these various things, and the numbers are straightforward in this balanced example. But in general, mixed models are not balanced and the calculations are not so straightforward. So the mixed model version of this analysis leads us to a simplified analysis of variance where we calculate directly. We don't have the blocks and block.whole plot lines in our analysis of variance, but the F values that are reported are the correct ones calculated against the appropriate residuals. And ASReml has also reported for us the denominator degrees of freedom, because the DEN-DF qualifier is by default set in such a small example. So we have an F test for the varieties. The order here was the order that we specified in our model. You don't need to put them in the particular stratum order, because ASReml can sort out exactly which is the appropriate degrees of freedom. And so, as reported here, the nitrogen term has an F value of 37. We saw that before in the fixed analysis of variance that we did, because the nitrogen and nitrogen variety tests were valid in that case. The variety term, though, was wrong in that fixed analysis, but it is correct here because we've now told it that block.whole plot is a random term. And similarly, the F test for the mean relative to the block variance is an appropriate test here as well. Now, the analysis that ASReml reports, we've had the F-con qualifier set, so we actually have 2 more columns in the analysis of variance table. The F-con which is a conditional term, and we'll explain that a little bit more in a moment. But related to that is the M column, or M code as I call it. And that relates to what terms can be tested. The highest letter below that is a B, so that we would need to test the B terms and the test for the A terms is not appropriate unless the B term is not significant, because the A term is a test in the F-con ignoring the B terms that are marginal to it. So it doesn't make sense to test variety after nitrogen.variety. And so that A code says that we can't test variety after nitrogen.variety, but we can only test it before nitrogen.variety. That will become more clear as we proceed. The final column is a probability, and if we have a conditional F reported and the probability reported, the probability is only reported if we can calculate the denominator degrees of freedom. But if the denominator of freedom is there and a conditional F is reported, then the probability relates to the conditional F. And if the conditional F is not reported, the degrees of freedom relate to the incremental F, and the probability relates to the incremental F. So there's a little bit of flexibility to help you determine what terms to retain in the model if you're doing a model reduction exercise. What exactly do we have here? The incremental F incremental is based on the sums of squares explained by adding the terms into the model in the order that they are specified. It is the sum of squares divided by the numerator degrees of freedom and by the residual variance, and that gives us the F statistic. The calculation of the denominator degrees of freedom, as I've mentioned, is not easy. It was not available in ASRML 1. It is available in ASRML 2, but not for large models. And the incremental F value is generally not the same as the conditional F value. So this raises us to the question of the order of fitting. ASRML will assume that you use a natural or an appropriate order for fitting. In other words, that you'll specify main effects before you specify interactions that involve those main effects. So in the example we had, we fitted nitrogen and variety before we fitted nitrogen.variety. Now the order that the main effects are fitted doesn't matter, you may choose either order, whether variety first or nitrogen first, but nitrogen.variety should not be specified until both of its main effects are fitted. And as I mentioned before, if you put the interaction into the sparse part of the model, it will in fact sweep out the main effects, and consequently you will have no analysis of variance to look at. Now, in general, for an unbalanced set of situation, we could consider three covariates, and we'll see what we would conclude from the results if we got this little analysis of variance. We've got three covariates. They've all got a single degree of freedom. I assume they've all got 45 degrees of freedom. The incremental values were 1, 23, and 10. The F conditional is 21, 1, and 10. Now, the last line, the F incremental and F conditional, will always be the same, because F incremental means it's conditional on everything else above it in the model, and if it's fitted last in the model, F conditional will also be adjusted for everything else in the model. What is the F conditional term? Well, for X1, it is the variation in X1 given X2 and X3. And for X2, it is the variation explained by X2 given that we have X1 and X3 in the model. And finally, the variation for X3 given that we have x1 and x2 in the model. So what is interesting here is that x1 by itself doesn't do anything, but after x2 and x3, it explains a lot of variance. Similarly, x2 after x1 explains a lot of variance, but x2 after x1 and x3 doesn't explain very much at all. And finally, x3 after x1 and x2 explains a certain amount of variation. So we can deduce from that x1, x2 and x3 explain a total of 34. And we get that by just adding up the f-inc column. Since they've got equal numerator degrees of freedom of 1, if we wanted to do the add-up and the numerator degrees of freedom were not 1, then we would need to weight by the degrees of freedom. But the total here is 34, of which x1 and x2 together explain 24. We get that from adding the first two numbers in the incremental column, or we get it from the fact that x3 explains 10 after x1 and x2, so we can subtract 10 from 34 and get 24. From the last column, we also get that x1 and x3 explains 33. So nearly all the variation is explained by x1 and x3 together, even though x2 explains a lot of variation when it is added after x1. X1 and x3 explains 33. X2 and x3 explains 13. So the best model out of that set will be one that omits x2 and just leaves us with x1 and x3. Now, that would not be obvious if we looked at the analysis just from the incremental ones. So normally, if the conditional f is reported, then we can identify the least significant terms, and generally they're the ones that we can safely believe. So we look at another analysis, and we look at region, site, variety, variety.site. And in this case, we've got some summer squares. Let's run through exactly what these values are. The conditional value for region. The M code is a little b rather than a big B. If we look at the list of terms, we see that this is the only place region appears. So we might think that region could be fitted last in the model. But in fact, ASRML works out that sites are nested within region. And so the region has to go in the model before site. And that's why a big B would indicate it could be tested last, but a little b means it started off being recognised as a big B, but then it was determined that it needed to precede some other term, and so the little b indicates that its status has been changed back from being a could be fitted last to it can't be fitted last because it explains some degrees of freedom out of some of the other terms. And as we think about it, we see that in fact it is region is a classification of sites. So the site summer squares is actually site given region, and in the conditional thing it's site given region and variety, but not given variety by site. Variety is adjusted for region and site, and variety by site is adjusted for region, site and variety. So the fact that this hidden nesting was occurring in the model is detected and is reported in that M code column of that analysis. Now, in general, we have the situation, if we've got a three-way factorial and all of the terms tested, then the A conditional A summer squares will be adjusted for B, C and B dot C, everything that doesn't involve A. The B conditional B sum of squares will be adjusted for A and C and A dot C. The A dot B interaction is adjusted for the main effects A and B, and everything involving C. The C main effect is adjusted for A, B and A dot B. The AC interaction is adjusted for A and C and everything involving B, etc. Whereas the incremental is just adding each term one by one as we go through. And it's important to understand what these tests are so that you can effectively interpret the analysis of the variance. We have a more complicated example here with a whole lot of factors and interactions. They're all single degree of freedom contrasts, so there in fact was no information available in the model, the way the model was constructed, about the nesting of these things, so that the terms become classified with M codes of A, B and C. C are the ones that are at the highest level. They are the ones that we could test in the first instance, and we see that all the C terms are significant, so we probably conclude that this is the best model, even though some of the other terms are not significant. But we could do a little bit more sophisticated testing if we wanted to. So if we looked at the last two lines, for example, we've got clover dot pos and then clover dot staple length dot position. This is an experiment of fibre diameter, where you've got the position along the staple, you've got the length of the staple, and then you've got a treatment, they were grazed on clover or not. And we see that the clover dot position term is not significant, but clover dot staple length dot position is highly significant. You might want to do a combined test of that, because if the clover dot position term was not significant as it is, and the three-way interaction was only just significant, if you did a combined test on 2 degrees of freedom, you might conclude that you could throw both of those terms away. So that's what is suggested by some of these values, but we would need to work that through. The other subtlety that we need to point out in this analysis is we've got some at group terms in here. There were four groups in this experiment, and we have the at group one position slaughter group is not adjusted for at group four position slaughter group. You maybe could think that it could be, and going back a level, the at group 1 dot pos is not adjusted for at group 4 pos terms at the same level as well. There is a new output file type, the .aov file, and it has a table in it which specifies exactly which terms are adjusted for which other terms in the conditional table. So if there's any doubt, look up that table and make sure that you can see what the particular test is. Well, those are some of the issues of the analysis of variance and features that are available in Release 2 of AS-RIML, and they provide quite a powerful way of exploring some of the structure that's in the data. But as we've seen, the fact that we're working with mixed models, unbalanced data, makes it a little bit more complicated than the traditional balanced analysis of variance that we're more familiar with.